Are you ready? Ready to release internal pain? To find confidence, clarity, and direction for your future? To live a life of meaning, fulfillment, and contribution? To trust your intuition again, but something's been holding you back? You've come to the right place. Welcome. I'm Ian Hawkins, the host and founder of the Grief Code podcast. Together, let's heal your unresolved or unknown grief by unlocking your grief code. As you tune in to each episode, you will receive insight into your own grief, how to eliminate it, and what to do next. Before we start, I have one request. If any new insights or awareness land with you during this episode, please send me an email at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com and let me know what you found. I know the power of this work and I love to hear the impact these conversations have. Okay, let's get into it. Welcome everyone, and welcome this week's guest, Terence Pope. How are you, Terence?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for inviting me in, and hello to everybody that's watching or maybe watching the replay.
Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Pleasure to have you. Yeah. And when we spoke about a month ago when we first connected, there's this quote that I wrote down, which I think is so true and I think people will resonate with. And you said to me, people are looking for an island in a rough ocean. And to me, that was such a great quote of sums up what is going on at the moment for a lot of people. So when I say that quote back to you, what sort of thoughts come to mind and what sort of guidance can you give people if they are in that rough ocean at the moment?
Okay. I think I can only relate back to my own life and how I changed that and found a solid platform to stand on for me. Because, you know, when you get into my story, I probably had the same sort of past as everybody. We start where we're not sure of ourselves. But probably in my early 20s, I started to form life values. And it resonated with me because in my readings, I'd read that, you know, build your life on a solid foundation like a rock. And I found when I started looking at life values, that they gave me value. It seemed to make me feel better when I developed them. And over time, they've proven to be that. So I really found myself three life values. I found myself a lot more, but I found myself three core ones that no matter what's thrown at me these days, sure, I wish some things weren't thrown at me, but I look to learn from them now. But standing on that platform of unconditional love, integrity, and freedom, and I offer that to everybody because once you offer it to yourself, you've got to be able to give it away and offer that to everybody. And I just find that makes me go, oh, that's interesting. Let's look at a little bit further and see what's really meant for me to learn in anything that becomes like the rough ocean. So this became my island, and it stood me well through a lot of tests of life.
Beautiful. Unconditional love, so powerful. I think most of us could identify with times where the love that was given to us was absolutely conditional, and it created so many different patterns for us. So what does unconditional love mean for you?
Oh, once again, that was a thing I investigated at a really young age because I was brought up as a Roman Catholic and I was taught about a God who loved me unconditionally, but there seemed to be conditions on it. And when I was about 12, I started to look in the dictionary for the meaning of the words I was using, and unconditional said without reservation. That didn't mean to say that it wasn't nice what was being said and what was happening. It just meant they had their own reasons. And if I didn't look into it, I had no justification except for my own really early life perceptions as to why I judged it. And I decided, well, I'd much rather not be judged. I'd much rather people ask me what I'm about and then go, well, that's just not for me, and step back from me. And that's why unconditional love, that's what it means for me, is like without reservation. You know, and that has stood me really well in a lot of causes in life as well.
Yeah. And actually you said something, talking about religion, something that particularly was true for me as well, was learning about this God that if you didn't do the right thing, that you would be punished, and the fear that created in me as a youngster. So tell me about that experience and how you were able to to navigate that as you learned that there could be a different way of looking at the world?
Well, fortunately for me, and I think a lot of people probably have similar experiences, but I was terrified of people. I just wanted to be, I didn't know when I was young that I just wanted them to appreciate and accept me, which is one of our psychological needs. But I was just terrified. I wanted so badly that I feared people wouldn't accept me as a friend, be my friend. And that's when you, when fear steps in, love certainly gets pushed aside. And it terrified me so much that I stuttered. I had a really bad speech impediment. And I thought, once again, I equated it back to the fact that I was doing something wrong by my God that I was being taught about, that I totally believed in from that, because it was all I knew. And then one day at 9, I had a vision when I was really, later on I learned I was in meditating really deeply. I didn't know then, but I was really in depth trying to work out what I was doing so wrong that was causing me the pain I was going through. And I had a vision that said, one day you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, that stimulated my mind. I didn't think I was crazy. I didn't understand it, but it stimulated my mind to go and find things. And the only place I could find things was reading books, because I used to hide out in libraries where people couldn't pick on me because I was small and I stuttered. And then I read some books in my early days that started me off on the journey I've been on. But one of the most impactful ones was when I was about 17 and a half, I read Psycho-Cybernetics, and it changed my world, you know. It made me realize I was trapped in a prison of my own thinking. And that was a revelation, you know. It was just a whoa. It was like one of those wow moments in life.
Yeah.
And that changed me from that stuttering, that fear, to the fact that opening up to being worthy, because it was my thinking that was making me thinking that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't equal to everybody else.
Amazing that you're reading books with that depth, and you even said to me, like, you're reading Carl Jung, Sigmund Freud, you're reading all these different things as a 12, 13-year-old and having your mind completely blown, but also this new awareness of a different way of looking at the world. So as a 12 and 13-year-old who most would think wouldn't be capable of having such thoughts and such awareness, what did that change for you? How were you able to navigate that difficult period of your life as a teen with this new awareness?
Well, I think it opened me up. I think what it did to me first was I got led to Sigmund Freud by someone else who was reading it, who was a teacher. I didn't understand Freud. I just thought he had a problem. You know, I thought there was something wrong with me and I couldn't find it in his book. But I knew that, you know, in the process, I learned about Carl Jung, and Carl Jung mentioned just one thing in the book I read was about collective consciousness, and it resonated with me. It gave me a possible answer for my vision, and that opened me up to realize that things are more than I'm aware of and more than what most of us are aware of. So it made me go on different searchings to try and find the person I believe was God and all these sort of things in my life, to find that spiritual aspect. And I think I still didn't tell people a lot about where my mind was at, because I knew it was different to the people around me and I was still trying to fit in. So I still, you know, when I went through the hippie period, I still dressed like the hippie. I still loved the way the hippies were, but I still had this different aspect in my mindset that I hid from others, because I was still not ready to produce the fruit of it out into the world, if for want of a better way to put it.
Yeah, even now, like, the concept of collective consciousness is a fair bit for a lot of adults to even decipher, right? So as a 12 and 13-year-old, I could imagine you, yes, very much keeping that to yourself. From the audience, Sonia saying, very enlightening, also thought I must have done something so bad that that's why things were happening. Yeah, I think that's probably something a lot of us can resonate with as a child, thinking that we were doing something wrong. Unfortunately, a lot of those patterns then flow through into adult years, right, Terrence? So how do you then go from where you're at then having this awareness to be able to then reprogram your mind as an adult to then look at the world in a different way that's going to actually serve you going forward?
Once again, it was a journey. You know, like, it didn't happen overnight. it was just little bits would fuel me in a further thing. It took me on to, and the result of really everything is reading, gaining that more knowledge. I mean, I personally believe in the key principle of life, knowledge empowers you. And I found that on my journey. I would read a whole book and there'd be just one line in it that would mean something to me, would open me up into another line of thought. And it wasn't until I was like 42 when I got introduced to network marketing that I discovered personal development. Like, you know, I went, I've been doing this since I was a kid, you know. I just didn't know what it was called. So, but it's always learning and reading, and not just reading, but doing something with the knowledge. You know, when I first, and you can be crazy with it, because when I first read Psycho-Cybernetics and I knew what it did to me, I was like the druggie who'd found Jesus and changed his life, right? Firstly, until I got a few kickbacks and I got them very quickly because I thought I'd found the answer, and it was so simple. You know, change your mind, change your life. I mean, it was that simple, but it's not that simple to the way most people have been programmed.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key word is programming. Over time, I reprogrammed my beliefs back in my subconscious, and they've kept me afloat and kept me moving forward and rising higher all the time in my thinking.
Yeah. So much of this is very similar journey to me, obviously different timelines in different situations. But, you know, when I started learning about, you know, listening to guys like Jim Rohn and Les Brown, and they were saying messages like, your language is the software of your mind. So reprogram how you speak to yourself, tell different stories in your head, then you will create a whole new reality. And it's like, oh man, like, wow, this is just, why have I not learned this before? Like, it's a whole different way of seeing the world. So you go from that space and then you start seeing the world in a different way. What was, could you think of one key thing that you saw that had been there the whole time that you suddenly had an awareness of that made things make more sense?
Well, actually not. You know, it was sort of being stimulated by external things that made me more aware. Like probably 9 or 10 years ago when I got encouraged to write my first book, I had never, never, ever considered writing a book. I failed English at school. It's the only subject I ever failed. And because I started, I didn't think I was good enough at English, so I just didn't get an interest in it. But I got encouraged to write a book, and in the process it was, well, I've got all this knowledge and I've read some crazy stuff in my head, and it was wasted. In my head it was wasted on how impactful it really could be. If someone was prepared to read a book, then they'd taken that action, that step to say, well, I'm interested in this, and then they're open to absorbing the knowledge. And that was a good journey. You know, that was a really good journey, that particular 12 months to do that book. And I think that gelled a lot of things together for me, is that I knew what I knew, nobody else knew it. People knew little bits and pieces, but I had knowledge that I could put together, and then I could actually impart it into other people's lives. And that was a great stepping stone, a changing point for me, when I realized that knowledge has power. A lot of people get knowledge and they don't share it. That's how they have their power, because they know what you don't know. But my vision is just share it and give people an opportunity to make a choice.
Yeah, and I know that's how you run your business now, is to try and, you're trying to reach as many people as you can, which is awesome. You touched on something there, which is something that has been a real revelation for me, not just in my coaching, but even in this platform, that when people get an opportunity to be heard, there's so much healing from that. But what most of us realize when we have a platform and we start telling what we know of our truth, is that, yeah, no one knows this unique knowledge in a way that we know it, because no one's had our experience, no one's overcome what we've overcome. And if anyone listening to this thinking, well, like, what I've got isn't worth anything, well, it absolutely is, because again, it's completely unique, and somewhere, sometime, someone's going to hear what you say, the way you say it, and it's going to suddenly make sense of something that they just thought was so complex. And as you know, to quote from something you said before, it will set them free. It's just so powerful. And I think back to your description of being a child who stutters. Do you have memories of that time? Like, and how you were able to cope with those situations, even as a young boy? Like, do you remember did you have a set plan or process, or was it purely survival? How did you manage that time?
Survival was probably a go. I mean, I've got memories that go right back to when I was probably under 18 months of age, and some of them very vivid.
Yeah.
But when I would stutter, I would just clam up and just freeze. You know, that was the amygdala part of my brain going, well, freeze, you know, because it wasn't working. I didn't have solutions. And the reason I hung out in the libraries was because other kids would bully me. Oh, there's something kids think only happens in their school these days, but it's happened for as long as I've known about school.
Yeah.
And they would pick on me, and my reaction was, if you're not operating in the spirit of love, you can only operate in fear, and fear produces anger. And I would get angry, and I would jump on them. And I was only little, and I'd try and bash them. And I realized very quickly that was getting me a bashed back, but it was also not getting me friends, which is what my bigger desire was. So I retreated basically into the libraries, and even that was for a reason in my life. See, I'm a great believer that everybody I meet, and this includes you and I here at the moment, Ian, is everybody I meet is for a reason, and yep, there's something I'm meant to learn that will empower my journey. And hopefully when I've left that interaction, I've left something empowering for their journey.
100%. And again, anyone listening now, like you described it, you might listen to this whole interview or read a whole book, but if there's one line, something that just comes out that makes a difference, well, then that's everything, right? For people like you and I who have a strong desire to make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And for you, like, again, anyone listening, that's more than enough. Like, not everything has to be profound or of massive value. Sometimes it's just that one thing from a moment that you take away and be able to take in that and utilize it in some way for a positive impact, then, yeah, it's totally worth it. So that you were able to overcome the stutter, but did that place of survival of like that fear that you talked about, did that play out then in different ways in as an adult?
I don't think until I got to about 30 that I got rid of the anger. So anger was a defense mechanism for me because I knew nothing more, and that was back in my programming, you know, like, I mean, seriously, when I was a 20-year-old man, I thought it was a good thing if someone upset me that I could punch them. I haven't done that for a long, long, you know, like, you know, 45 years, you know, I haven't done that. But that was my response. And I'd convinced myself that was a good trait to have, that I could be more angry and more powerful than you. And it's not, you know, it's just not. And I think one of the best learning things in my life was that when we understand that we're all part of something unique and amazing, and that we're all a vital cog in that, like when I did my second book, which is the audio book, Unleash Your Dreams, pulled a lot of what I know together, and it opened up my life mission, which I've written to you as part of what I am. And I think we're all here to raise the vibrational expression of humanity through the power of love. I think every single one of us is to be who we were born to become, because that's part of, by becoming that, we only become that through love, and we just add to it, and that blesses everything we come in touch with. It's not a religious thing. It's a truth.
Yeah. And I think coming back to what you've talked about before, it's people's past experiences and programming, which may even find that message in itself really uncomfortable. I know when I go deep and I maybe post things around love and connection, the women tend to really engage
Oh, yeah.
a, lot, a lot of men, unless they've people who have done a bit of work, because it's just so uncomfortable. And yet this is the path that allows us to feel how we really want to feel. So what are you doing now to help specifically, well, let's talk people in general, but also anything specifically for men, to help that help them cross that bridge so that they can come to that same realization that they have this opportunity to be able to, to share this unconditional love, which really just changes everything for how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your world.
Yeah, I think in my journey now, I think there's a change in men that's happening. Like, it was many decades ago that I came to the realization that we're like yin and yang. We have male and female energies within us.
Yeah.
And just by being who I am today, like being non-threatening, being standing in my power and being honest and who I am and accepting people who they are and not trying to be the alpha male in the pack, because there's no need for it. That's generally comes from a point of insecurity, you know. Sometimes it's their personality, but often it's an insecurity. And if you be who you are and just treat people like you would like to be treated yourself, then I'm finding that people open up to me and talk to me, and then they start to listen. People don't like to hear what's said until they open up to what they want to hear. And that's a timing thing sometimes. You know, you wait until suddenly someone's with you on their own and you're talking, and they'll go into a different level of speaking than what they do in front of other men.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Because they still put out that face. A lot of us put out a face for what we think is going to be acceptable to the people around us because we want to be accepted and appreciated. When in reality, the people that those people admire are the ones who've been brave enough to go on their own path in the spirit of love and just become more.
Yeah. I think the word you touched on there is probably the part that can be most challenging, and that's that bravery, because we've been programmed and had a picture painted about what bravery actually looks like, and you described it. Maybe it's standing up to a bully physically and with violence, but the bravery is to actually to have that your other of your values, freedom, the freedom to be self and the freedom to show up exactly as you are, instead of putting all these different masks on.
Yeah, I think one of my life value that really opened me up to being free and letting other people free was integrity. Because I really did, when I was young, I could lie to myself like crazy, right? Yeah. And if I believed myself, and you do, I mean, we all believe what we tell each other, and that's one of the challenges people got to work out is, what am I saying to myself in my mind? I would believe it, and then it was so easy to let that manifest, flow into my world, and I could tell people the same lie. And when I realized that it was okay not to be the perfect person you thought everybody else wanted you to be acceptable, you can then be yourself and you can grow from there. And that was probably a really solid turning point in my life, was that it's okay to be not the perfect programming that's in our mind. And the bravery comes from, you know, we have so many fears that stop us from becoming. But the bravery, you can't be brave unless you face fear. You've got to face fear to become brave. It has to happen, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's a muscle. Like danger is real, but that fear is in the mind, and it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and that's a really good point about it being a muscle, because sometimes we think, oh, well, I've tried that, I'm not very good. It's like, well, maybe try it another time, try it again, try it a different way, try it with some help, try it with support, try it with a new process. Like, I know you've built many different processes around helping people to do this, but it's a muscle, and it can be built. It can be built, and like muscles built, it's built with resistance, and it's built with what you talked about. It's built with fear, and we can – yeah, we don't know what we're capable of unless we actually stare it down and be able to allow ourselves to have that journey.
Yeah.
So how do you go from you're into this place where you've discovered personal development, you're realizing that Well, actually, not you're discovering personal development. You've been given a name for what you've done your whole life. How do you then go from, you go into that network marketing space to then going, right, there's something bigger here for me, and actually having that bravery to go and do that, to have a bigger impact than what you thought you were going to have?
That was a funny word called faith. And it's, once again, it's not religious. Faith is about self-belief. You know, if you so believe, and you have to believe, whatever you believe of yourself is what you manifest, right? And it's crazy. We talk about the law of attraction and things like that, and it works, but you have to take action, because that's the faith bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to take action. And in learning that, is about part of that process is about, like you mentioned just before, was doing something and not getting the results you wanted and learning from it. Well, that's how you gain wisdom, right? And as you keep do, learn, repeat, relearn, redo, repeat, you gain more wisdom, and ultimately that wisdom becomes a storehouse of understanding. And you're actually reprogramming yourself while you're doing it, because it's like riding the bike or learning to walk when you're a child. You know, most little babies, when they first try to walk, they fall on their face and they think it's funny, because yeah. They haven't got that programming of, oh, I look like someone who sucks in front of everyone. I want to love me, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yeah, the learning to walk is a great example, because when we're parents, we're encouraging and we might laugh as well. But then that changes around different things because of our own programming, and then suddenly we start talking to our children in a way that's not like that. It's not unconditional love, and that's where that programming repeats. You mentioned something there that was a crucial part of my journey was the action part. So my first mentor started, you know, teaching me around law of attraction and all these sorts of things, and he talked about the movie The Secret, and it's like, no, you can't just sit on the lounge and wish for things and it will show up. You actually need to take the action when the inspiration comes. You need to actually go out there and do whatever it is that you need to do, whatever it is you're meant to do, to invite in whatever's meant to come in to help you on that journey. So do you have a specific example you could share with us around some action that you were inspired to take that really led to something, better than you could have expected?
That's the point of having a mentor at times, isn't it? You know, I first got into, started trying to utilize the knowledge I have back in the 1990s when I got into marketing, and I had a business called TP Marketing, and it was the people, the products, that's what the TP was for. And part of the people was to try and help them achieve their goals, right? I didn't have a big vision as to what I have now, but it was just to help people. And we used to sit down with people and we'd work out what they want, and we'd do written plans and everything like that. And they'd go away and they wouldn't do anything. Right?
Yeah.
And I used to beat myself up something terrible, you know, about it, because I'd keep bringing it back to me. What wasn't I doing right? And I had a mentor at the time, and he just looked at me, and I asked him about it. I said, what am I doing wrong? And he said, nothing. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, great story. Well, it's always stayed with me for all these years. He said, people have got two tongues in their life, including you. And he said, one is a tongue in your mouth that you'll tell people because what you think they want to hear, and people will tell you the same thing because they just want to be appreciated by you and be your friend. But there's a tongue in their shoe and it's hooked to their heart, and if they really want it, they'll take action. So he said, just say to people, do this, and then we can do that. And every time they come back, you say, how'd you go up the first action? It's a little step. It wasn't anything massive. Chunked it down to the tiniest little thing they had to do to buy into their dream. Because what it is, people still have that fear, and they don't have lack of self-belief that they're not worthy because of that early programming. And when they buy into the belief, the courage has come in, the faith has come in, and that starts to be like things grow, their vibrations raise up, and they start to feel better about themselves. And that's a compounding effect over time. And it just little bits at a time. How much fear can you overcome to do something?
Yeah, brilliant. I'm drawn to two parts of that. One, there's a great book, Jeff Olson, The Slight Edge. I'm not sure if you've read that one, but yeah, he talks a lot about that, right? That I love the analogy he uses, or two of them actually, the water hyacinth, which is a like a lily pad, and he talked about this big pond, and it will cover the whole pond in 100 days. But after 90 days, you might just see one or two or three of these little lily pads that are covering it. And then maybe a few days later, it's almost like the size of a mattress. But by 100 days, the whole pond is covered by this plant, because so much of the growth is happening under the surface for those 90 days. The problem is that when we're working towards something, so often we're like, well, why am I not there yet? Like, why haven't I achieved that? And it's just remembering those incremental parts. And the other one that he mentioned that really stuck with me was he talked about the car industries in the 70s, and in the US they went bigger and brighter and bolder, and they wanted to try and get results immediately, whereas the Japanese made this plan for the long term, and they built this long-term plan like they do with most of their industries. And of course the success that came from that, from the Japanese car industry at that time, was phenomenal, because they went for these long-term incremental pieces. He uses the example, if you take out compounding, if you add 0.3% of improvement every day, oh no, sorry, not 0.3, 0.03% of improvement every day, and you make that much improvement every day for a year, then you're 100% better by the next year. But 0.03%, well, not even 0.03 improvement, we think is quite achievable. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
But in a year, what is capable?
Yeah. So even the universal thing with action is it's like you mentioned the word compounding. It does, it compounds. You can't connect the dots until you look back.
Yeah.
And that's a principle of the 7 days, the seventh day of rest. Take the time to reevaluate how far you've come and go, wow, and know that you weren't you're not the person you were 7 days ago.
Yeah, 100%. The other thing you said there was taking the action that's in your heart. And to me, this is an important part of the recipe. When people talk, you can achieve anything you want. Well, my belief is that you can achieve anything that you want that's in your heart. So in my heart, it's not to be the 100-meter sprint champion of the world, but there are other things that in there that I know I will absolutely be able to achieve, even if they are massive, massive goals. So that's really important, different way of looking at it for people, that it has to be that thing that's in your heart. And maybe a question for you, Terence. How would you help someone? Could you explain a simple process to people how they can tune in and find those things that are in their heart that are calling, if they've got all this other programming and maybe a whole lot of other stuff that's distracting them from that calling?
I think it's just find one thing and build on that. Get rid of the clouds, you know, because a lot of things that are stopping us up here aren't associated with what's down here. It's just the fear that we tend to have puts us in that state of uncertainty. And when we're in a state of uncertainty, everything comes in to give us all the facts and all the reasons why we can't do what we want to do in this one little thing. And if we just focused on it and did it, then the others would gradually fade into the background. And I think affirmations are really powerful for that in the process. You know, you need to reprogram. You need to, if you want fast reprogramming, nothing beats affirmations, particularly meditative affirmations where you actually take them on board and accept them. One of the things that I've done that's really compounding me over the last couple of months has been the acceptance of the fact, and this is probably, I'm not sure if people want to hear this, but I actually believe there's a potential. I believe in a creator. I can't explain that to you, but I believe that there's every potential, that every one of us is just an idea in the mind of some sort of intelligent creator.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to tell our own story. And in telling our story, that's the vibrational expression of that original idea expanding into our three-dimensional world, because we only perceive this world between certain levels. You know, there's more vibrational expression within the universe than what we perceive. And I think that when we believe in ourselves, that's part of that expanding expression of love within ourselves that comes into our world and brings us the time, the money, that, because our greatest thing we chase is joy and happiness. I'd say to my clients at times, you know, if you could sit at a breakfast table and look at a burnt bit of toast and feel joy and happiness, you wouldn't leave the table.
No. Even what we're going through now, people may be judging other people's actions and reactions. Ultimately, everyone's taking action that they believe will have them feeling more of that, feeling better about themselves and feeling that. So that's a natural human response, right?
Yeah. If it wasn't going to make us feel good, we wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like even when we run in fear, we think we're running to something feeling better.
Yeah.
Which takes longer than being brave and facing it.
100%. And so maybe you might have hit on the most important part of all of this is you will find the lesson eventually. You just might not find all the lessons if you go on that journey yourself. But you can accelerate it by turning around, being brave, stepping into that fear. And as you've already mentioned, having support through that is going to be really beneficial as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's more of that joy and fulfillment on the other side of that fear.
Yeah. They're the bucket list of the soul.
Beautiful. Love it. What a great quote. Bucket list of the soul. So what's still on your bucket list that you know is coming in the future?
The bucket list of myself is what I'm doing right now, and I think I mentioned the other day I've just produced a webinar which is online, and the feedback I'm getting from that is great. I'm really blessed. It's blessing me, you know.
Can we share that link at the end as well?
Yeah, we can. So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a And what I'm finding, the feedback from that is it's making people think, and all we have to do by who we are and what we do is, in the spirit of love, get people to think. Because when people get to think, they're going to go, well, that was interesting, I want to know more. Or that wasn't very interesting, I don't want to know about it. And then the attempt there is to hang around with them long enough in the spirit of love for them to go, well, maybe I was afraid of it for the wrong reason. Because in life, we don't learn until we've bashed our head against the wall often enough and our ears pop out and we start listening to people who probably know more than we do.
It's great. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I had some other thought there, but it's gone. I'm sure it will come back to me.
Yeah.
I need to write myself a bucket list of the soul. That's fantastic.
It's whatever feels joy and happiness, and really it comes from a level of contribution. Everything's a seed, right? When you get to life, when you have knowledge and love and other things like money and anything it is that you can give back from your own overflow, because you cannot give what you don't have, right? So once you start to give back with no ulterior motive except the fact it's excess to your needs and you can see it blessing, you will get, like karma, whatever you want to put it as, it's just a seed and it brings joy and happiness beyond all measure. And that's what we're after. We're experiential beings. You know, it's not the big house, the big car, the debt-free, being the best in the world. It's how we feel. And when we feel that, if we can make people feel the same or see the potential to get to be feeling the same, There we are at that stage of raising the vibrational expression of humanity through the power of love.
Brilliant. I remember what I was going to say now before you talked about you giving people an opportunity to think. To me, that's such a great message at the moment. There's a lot of people trying to tell other people what to think, what to believe, how things should be. When has that ever worked? When in an argument, trying to force your opinion down someone's throat, has that ever worked?
No, instead,
finding a space to address whatever's going on for them so that they can then think in a different way, so that they can find the right message for them, not for you.
Yeah.
It's by listening, right? By listening and understanding. I'm drawn to back to the child as a that you were talking about that was had a stutter. So do you feel at that time that perhaps people weren't necessarily listening to you? Like what was the relationship like with your parents at that time when you're going through that stuttering phase?
Well, I didn't think I was loved. I found out later on my parents loved me. So there's a journey, there's a whole backstory there, but that they never did anything wrong to me. I just didn't felt, I was one of nine kids.
Yeah, wow.
So I didn't feel valued enough. You know, I stuck in the middle. And like my parents spent more time with the younger ones and they gave more attention, more power to the elder ones.
You're talking my language, brother. I'm a middle child, and that poor middle child as well.
Yeah. So I don't think it was any different anywhere else.
Yeah.
But see, we're all about ourselves. Yeah. One of our biggest, everybody's got this stamp on their forehead. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Right. And at the end of the day, that's okay. And one of the journeys I learned in my life was really, and it was something that served me well when my dad passed, was that I learned that, once again, I go back to the webinar I've just done, there's an exercise in it called Who Do You See When You Look in the Mirror? And I learned I had to tell myself, I had to accept myself and say, thank you, I appreciate you, I'm sorry, I love you. And that was really impactful for me. It made me cry, you know, when I did it for myself. It was something I thought I'd never do, but it really shook me up. But what it made me realize was my dad, who we didn't have the greatest relationship when we were young because I was such a rebel, you know. I was trying to make a statement, you know what I mean? I was trying to get their attention by being a rebel. And when my dad was dying, he was dying of cancer, and I decided to take him away for a weekend to go somewhere where he needed to go. And I did that. And I traveled 5 hours to pick him up in the car and took him for a drive for the weekend. And we talked about everything that we probably should have talked about when I was a teenager. Right?
Yeah.
And he dealt with it. And I dealt with it. And then I dropped him off. And during that time, I thanked him because some of my most powerful traits I have as a human being, I learned from him, you know. I appreciated him. I thanked him. I loved him, you know. And then I drove all the way back to the Gold Coast and I walked into my home and my wife said, well, how'd it go? Because she knew why I went. I said, it went really well, but I've got to drive back. She said, well, I said, I didn't finish. And I turned around and drove all the way back and I walked in. Don't cry because it'll probably make me cry again every time I think about it. But I walked into my dad's house and he said, what are you doing back? And I said, oh, Dad, I didn't finish it, and what I had to do. And he said, why, what do you want? And I said, well, remember when I was 19 and we punched each other in the head? And my dad looked at me and tears ran down his face. And he said, I wished I'd handled it differently. All right? And we both cried. We hugged. And my dad was telling my brothers that it was the best week he'd had in his life. But it's amazing. It really taught me that the people in this world, sometimes we have to show up from our hearts so that other people can be brave enough to show up from their hearts. And it's probably the most pleasing thing I've ever done was to get that back, to see that happen to my dad, who I'd never seen cry before.
I didn't get tears. I got full body tingles. Like, that's just amazing. Yeah. I was conscious of you talking about having that opportunity. What a blessing that must have been for you. Oh. And I was thinking, like, all of those things that you got to do with your dad, they're all the things that, like, I didn't get to do because of my own lack of bravery, what we've talked about before, my lack of courage to actually address those conversations. So I guess if I was to say a message, is like, if you have that opportunity to have those conversations, absolutely have them. But if you didn't get to have that opportunity, then there are ways still to process that. And
have it with yourself. If it's too late to have it with the other person, have it with yourself, because you have to let that go.
Absolutely. Well,
you know,
my belief is, and again, like you said before, maybe not what everyone wants to hear, is that you can have that conversation with them, right? Everything's energy. We're all energy. You can still connect with the energy of people that are past. And because the energy doesn't disappear, and you can have those conversations. And yeah, like you said, setting you free. All that we have unresolved within us is something that still needs to be processed. So that's such a great share, Terence. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. There's a reason for it.
Yeah, clearly. And no doubt there's someone listening that will be having one of those moments that we talked about at the start. You mentioned programming a number of times through this. So could you, well, actually, is it one of your books? Is there a specific book that you've written that's around programming and how you actually reprogram?
No, really. The first book was called Living Your Gifted Life, and it's about the power tools of life, because we have these perceptions, and that's what we need to change. And as we grow and learn, and I explained that in the webinar, but as we grow and learn, we develop what I call the power tools of life, which is how we think, how we speak, and our actions. And we can change those perceptions with those power tools, and then we can grow our life, because we grow our life with those power tools. And there's a number of things that we have within us that enhance and empower them even more impactful to create in our own lives. But it's about utilizing what we have to become our fullest potential. And if you don't plant a seed, it's not going to germinate. And then if you don't water it and nurture it with love, it doesn't produce the amount of fruit. And we're just a seed. I talk about, as human beings, we have four things we grow from our seed. We have our physical being, we have our spiritual being, we have our emotional being, we have our psychological being. And they're like four legs on a table. And if one of them is short, the four-legged tables don't stand up really well when one leg's not working. And it's finding that and doing something with it, with those power tools of life that help us grow and become. And what we find, we then start to look for, like the universe, seek and you find. Once you recognize what you need and you start looking for it, the reticular activator system actually opens up, and you might walk past a sign you've walked past all your life and suddenly go, how long has that been there? And it's a sign you've been meaning to hear that says, you know, do this, read this book, listen to this person, or this makes you think a certain way.
Yeah. 100%.
Thinking the way we think has only got us to here. Thinking differently will get us beyond.
I'd say we've probably absorbed a fair bit of the information and listened to the same sort of people, because that's a message that I've repeated to people over and over again. And
yeah,
we all have these power tools. I'd love to hear from you around, because we all have unique power tools too, right, which are unique to us in our own journey. Yeah. What is one of those power tools to you? How are you able to see the world in a different way that someone else listening to this may go, oh man, I want to learn that, because I feel like in my heart that's something that I know I've got as well.
Okay. The most powerful power tool we have is our words, really. And we all say different things to ourselves. We say 50,000 to 70,000 words a day to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we believe every single one of them. And in the processes of what I do often with people is I go, do a balance sheet. And on one side, write what you say after I am that's really positive and empowering. And on the other side, what you say after I am that's really disempowering. And in most cases, we end up with the disempowering words being far greater than the empowering ones. If you can flip those disempowering ones to the exact opposite, even though you mightn't think you're worthy of it, do it anyway, because you'll change the program and you'll go, why the hell did I think like that all my life? Because that's the way we were programmed in the first 7 years of our life.
Yeah. The more action we take, the more of that faith that comes along.
Yeah, it empowers it.
Yeah, absolutely. A word that I wrote down earlier that when you were talking was that of service, of giving back. So to me, one of those things that we've mentioned already is that finding that thing in our heart, and usually the giving back is very much related to our own journey. So what are you giving? How are you giving back now to people in a way that is something that you didn't receive, so it does mean so much to you?
I think even in my daily life, like it's a little bit restricted now with COVID. And I actually went out last week, which is crazy about COVID. I went out to the shopping center last week and went to do something I do naturally. If I'm in a shopping center and I can catch your eye, I'll smile. And if you smile back, I'll say hello. And if you say hello back, I'm going to ask you a question and you're in conversation. It's that quick.
Yeah. Right?
It can be that quick. But I went to a shopping center last week and there would have been only three people in the shopping center without masks, and their eyes are darting and hiding. And it was an incredible experience because I couldn't find someone to connect with. Right?
Yeah.
So I try and find places where I can, and I think that's what I'm missing from COVID, is the ability to connect with people, look them in the eyes and speak to their hearts. And give back, because if I can say one thing to somebody today in a conversation, that's a seed that may not germinate for months, that makes them think and it hangs there for that aha moment at some time, I've done my job, because I'm not looking to put people down and I'm not looking to make them feel so disempowered because they don't know stuff that I may know, because I generally empower people with a seed, with a question. Because when you ask a question, people have to answer it to themselves, if nowhere else.
Yeah. And finding those opportunities have never been more important. And it's funny what you described there. I think it's been what most people experience, is it's almost like a shying away. But I'm finding that's starting to turn now. And like even afternoon walks, people would like, you know, walk away and walk around you, but there's a more openness to like, we need to connect again. Like our own life depends on it, but our like humanity depends on it. We need to have that connection. We need to find every opportunity we can to rebuild that, to bring more of that positivity and more of that love, and to be able to shift, like you said, the collective consciousness. I feel like it's really happening and accelerating at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see what plays out in the next little while, Terrence, to find more of that.
So if I could say one thing that people take away, you asked me that question, I think it just what you just said reminded me of it, was that when they started social distancing, I said, and I realized we couldn't touch. We crave touch. We crave connection. And I was saying to my friends and family and people, I said, look, just go out there. When you see people, smile and say hello. They'll feel the love because we're craving it. We hunger for it. We need it.
Yeah.
And you'll make a difference. You don't have to do anything else but just look at them in the eyes, smile and say hello. And I hope everybody goes out and does that. And that'll add to what's actually happening in the world right now. There's certainly a feeling that's growing out there that people are starting to wake up to their own power.
Yes.
And I think that's really important. If we can fuel that, great. I'm for that.
Yeah. And we talked before about momentum. Like there's a real momentum happening. The more it's happening. And I think, you know, being able to continue to offer those spaces for people to think for themselves and find reprogramming to wake up to their own power, because that's the most important part, not to what you think they should be doing or what you think they should be believing, but their own power that's within them. So powerful, Terrence. Is there another message that you'd love to be able to share with the listeners now to help guide them through this next period of their life, whatever they're working through, whatever they are challenged with, to help them come out the other side in a better place?
I think they've got to believe in themselves and know that the best is yet to come. See, the challenges in life, to me, they're there. We have to overcome them, because when we overcome, we become, we raise our vibration. We believe in ourselves, and we have to take ownership of who we are, where we're at. Because in taking ownership, we start to see our own uniqueness. And we start to recognize there are things within us that other people don't know. And when we understand that uniqueness, we can then understand we need to manifest that into our world where people can see it. And we can only manifest it through love. And that starts with loving who we are and believing that we have value and that anything that we so choose to have in life in the spirit of love is ours to have, and we have to become. You know, yeah. That's just belief. And I come back to the webinar I've just done, and that's what people are telling me they get out of it. It's made them think about what they can do that they've never thought about before. And I think we need that knowledge, that key, it's such a key principle of life. Einstein said it really well. We cannot overcome the challenges of life with the same knowledge that created them.
Yeah.
Right? We've either created the problems that we see in life, or we've allowed them to manifest because we haven't believed in our own power.
Mm. The word that comes through all of that is be. It's who we want to be, who we need to be, who we're meant to be. Starts all of those words. Beautiful. It starts that word too. Terence, is there anything else that you'd love to share with our audience? We will be leaving a link for that webinar that you mentioned. But is there anything else that you'd love to share before we sign off?
No, not at this stage. I'd love to find out what people think and then come back and answer some of the things they think that they need questions answered, because then I can understand what's in their mind. Because right now you're drawing out of my mind. It's beautiful, and I thank you so much for this, Ian. It's really appreciative. It's been a blessing.
You're welcome.
But it's about my personal thing is about asking people questions, not like the detective, but like wanting to know questions, wanting to understand questions, because only when you know and understand how other people think can you provide a potential solution, and it only becomes a solution if they're open enough to consider it as an answer to the challenge they face.
Yeah, well said. One of the reasons for this platform is to give opportunity for people to answer questions, because a lot of the people that come on are typically in the rest of their life, they are the ones doing all the question asking. So to be able to provide that platform for people, and that's again for my own joy to be able to help people to have that space. I love it. And if it can help people by letting other people tune into our conversation, then all the better. So thank you so much, Terence, for coming on and having a chat. It was fantastic and so much value for the people listening.
Thank you. Look, it's been because you reached out to me, and that's why I'm here. And to be able to express what I think and where I'm going to more people, that's just a blessing in its own for me. You know, it's just, let's see how far we can take them.
Absolutely. Awesome. Love it. Thanks, mate.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Grief Code podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please share it with a friend or family member that you know would benefit from hearing it too. If you are truly ready to heal your unresolved or unknown grief, let's chat. Email me at info@ianhawkinscoaching.com. You can also stay connected with me by joining the Grief Code community at ianhawkinscoaching.com/thegriefcode. And remember, so that I can help even more people to heal, please subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.